My name is Petra. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, that's great. I love your faces. So first of all, what a great honor to be invited. My home group is in Berlin, so that's in Germany. We're in Belgium. This is a super great convention. So many sweet and just so it's everything is so peaceful, and this is just like, you know, and most of you I've never seen before, but I look at you and I feel home, and I know it's just with you nothing can happen anymore, so I feel safe. My sobriety date is the 30th May 2010, so I have 8 years and 8 months or so. And I was born in Berlin. My mom and my dad, they came from Slovenia to work in Berlin. And I never met my dad, so I call him the producer still. If I believe all the stories my mom told me, he's a devil. So it was crazy. He was peeing in the pants, alcoholic. Brought women home, wanted to my mom to be a prostitute, and when I was born he wanted to sell me, and when he couldn't sell me he wanted to kill me. So my mom gave me away for some weeks to someone she trusted, and then she got me back when the place was safe. That's a story I've been told all these years. And so that was very hard. So all that I remember, I had everything as a child. I had every toy I wanted. I went to a good school. So the problem was my mom always wanted me to be something better than her. I shall have all the chances. I had to become a doctor or a lawyer. But as soon as I'm able to, I should marry a doctor or a lawyer. And but on the other hand, I wasn't allowed to meet boys. Problematic. It was everything. Nothing was really easy. And I mean, nowadays, I mean, I tell a little bit like how it was, right? And I remember, so now and today I can see I was definitely born with a kind of a disease in my head. So I was I was too present for everybody. I was absolutely not pleasant for someone. I beat the children up in the kindergarten. I just wanted them to help. I mean, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Oh my God. So I just wanted to help that girl, and she was too stupid to understand what to do. And then I'm not discussing very long, so I just beat her up because she said that was annoying. That was what I did. And then they said, okay, Petra cannot be with the same children in one school with the same age. We put her up to the older ones. Same again, beating, and not ever, not feeling home. It's like, when I was 12, I said, we don't have to celebrate my birthday because I have seen it all. It won't change, it won't change. And my mom said, you were such a strange child. And then I was funny, and children laughed about me, or, you know, I was just a funny child, and I always said I just want to have fun. And But my mom wanted me to be a lawyer, so I had to do surgery person, a doctor. I don't know the English word. Yeah.
Did you hear that?
So, and then I was very good. I was the best in the school until I was 12, and then I got on that higher school. And I was the first taking, I could choose the place I want to sit because I had this A degree. I mean, I was 12, right? And I was like, I went to that school where you go from 8 to 4. I had to be there at 6 because my mom had to work very hard in a factory. And so I was there from 6 o'clock in the morning, almost all the time alone with the kindergartner, and until 6 in the evening because my mom had to work in a factory. And that wasn't funny. And so we had no homework. We never got something to do at work because that was a full day school. You went there from early in the morning until 6, until 4. So you got nothing for doing at home. I had to. So that was, I guess, pretty frustrating because all I wanted to have was fun. And so I went to that school later, and I lost it completely. With 13, I was always the first time I was really, really drunk was I was vomiting out of a roller coaster. I mean, I would never, still today, I would never get on a roller coaster. That's nonsense. That's suicide, I think. But I did that. I vomited, and this woman yelled at me. And this is the first time I can tell I was super. Super drunk, and I don't know if it really tasted good for me, but the thing it does was like I was not even that I felt free, it was just I didn't have to be there. It was like a small holiday or whatever. It was just all the pressure, all the stress, all the not wanting to be there, the I'm not belonging. Everybody was strange. I didn't belong there. I didn't belong there. The word was, I always said, I'm at the wrong place, at the wrong time. Please, if there is something existing, just take me away from here. And then I shaved my hair, and I became a punk and a rockabilly and everything that was really like a social scene in society. Maybe that's also only my thought. And then I have to admit that there is a lot missing. The next things I really can remember is that I was just and only, I dropped the school, I just went home, and I thought, words you shouldn't tell when you share. Then I managed kind of to have I got a paralegal. And I was very fortunate because normally I would have just failed. But this lawyer, he was very nice. There was a lawyer. he saw something in me and he thought, this cannot be. Why is she so sick and she cannot be on time? She's like, she stays at home when she feels like. I mean, so he said, I give you the chance, you repeat the whole thing. And at this point, my feeling was, this society broke my knees because I had to work. I was like in the machine of doing what everybody does. I was like sucked in the zombie world. It was so horrible, and I just felt I hated. I hated everybody. I hated life. I hated myself. I didn't know myself, I guess. So, and I drank and I drank and I drank so much. I was at every party. I was like always drunk. I was drunk when I left the house. I was drunk when I never came. at work, I found, luckily I always had jobs where the bosses were drinking, so I could drink with them. Later on, I even could take cocaine with them. So that was, so it was kind of practical, because I mean, you don't want to stop only because you have to do work. You don't want, I mean, leave the bottle at home. It's super to take it with you. It's just like coffee to go, champagne to go, or so. And then and it seemed like I have the lifestyle which could be maybe worse to live for. And but it got so worse. I was alone. I was desperate. I wanted to kill myself. I even wanted to build a box, a wooden box, in my bedroom, which is pretty big. And I wanted to build that box where I just fit in, because I couldn't sleep in. I couldn't stand the rooms around me. Everything was just too big, and I just wanted to lay in a box like a dog and sleep there, because I never killed myself. I never jumped out of the window, but yeah. Big mouth. Oh, I'm gonna kill myself. Never did it. yeah, and this is like, I will show the world. Never did it. And then I was 35, I sat in that bar, and that bar was so crazy, because I said to the barkeeper, I said, look at the people, they are so drunk, and look at the girls, they go to the toilet, everybody knows what they do there. They take cocaine all evening long, I watch them, I see that, I can see that. And then he looked at me and he said, Petra, and I thought, he knows my name? And he said, you're the worst. You're here every day for days, 24 hours, 48 hours. In Berlin, it's possible, right? And they had to throw me out. I disappeared. I didn't want to. And then he said, you have to go now. It's 12. We're closing the club. Ooh, we're closing the club. I'm not finished. And then I heard myself yelling, no, I don't go back to reality. Yeah. But in this moment, there was a little bit something like my brain was half, and this one part was yelling, I'm not going back to reality. And the other one, the other part thought, that's sick. There's something wrong. Don't mind. I'm not going back. So, and I never ever, honestly, I didn't know that AA is really existing. I thought it's just in these movies. It's an invention of the Americans. Like, oh, hi, like Weight Watchers. Yeah, and then, I mean, that would be mean, but I mean, you know, sometimes there's no progression. So an AA, and then they make some things up. And seriously, I had no consciousness. I had no brain. I was not using my brain. And but I had a friend, and she, at this time, she was in the rooms already for a year or so. She went to another fellowship, and she called me. And I thought, I saw, she's calling me, and I thought, yeah, now the party will get started, we'll have fun, because she was the craziest. Like, well, and then two of us. And then 250 of us. And then she called me, and then she talked strange things, like, I'm not drinking anymore, I'm not taking drugs, I go to that place, and it's very nice, don't you want to come with me? And I thought, what is she talking about? I'm not an alcoholic. I mean, I thought alcoholics, seriously, are these people under the bridge without teeth? Okay, don't have to feel ashamed. You think the same. So that was my thought. And I thought the only thing I maybe could regulate was the cocaine. And then it took me some weeks, and then my best friend, she had to pick me up from Alexanderplatz, which is in the middle of Berlin. It's very dirty, it's very ugly, and I was disorientated. I didn't know where to go, la la la. So she had to find me there and pick me up, and then she brought me home, and we decided, or she said, Mosey, maybe you call your friend Nicola, and so I went to that other fellowship, and then I picked up my 3 months chip, and then I said, yeah, I'm so grateful, everything is pretty good. Since I started drinking red wine, because I always hated red wine, I kind of can control the drinking of champagne and not taking cocaine, so I don't have to do that anymore, and everybody was clapping, polite. Little. So, and then after the meeting, someone came to me and he said, well, did you never listen to what we say in the preamble? And think about alcohol is also a drug. And I thought, okay. They want me to stop drinking? Are they crazy? I mean, do they even have a school education? What? By the way, how do they look? No way. And then I went home, and I mean, I thought I have the book, I can read it, makes a little bit sense, because, or maybe it calms me down. I never read it again. I was drinking, I lived my life like I started right where I was ending 3 months before, and it went down, 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 and then for 1.5 years I had relapses. Sometimes I try to go back, but then this one night I had this girl this girl, she, every time I thought I could go to that one of these meetings because maybe this thing has to stop, I don't know. She never was in Berlin, so she always called her friend to pick me up from a corner. So, and she did that. This is what we do. We pick up the disorientated, poor little, bloody, damaged thing from a corner, because so she will find the way to the meeting. And I was hell afraid. I didn't want to go in there. I didn't know anybody. So why would I talk to them? And so my last relapse, I went to friends, and they, especially only for me, they just didn't realize it. They bought a bottle of red, rosé champagne, and they put it in front of me, and I thought, oh no, sorry, I cannot drink it, and the glass was empty. And I remember that I looked at this glass and thought, who drank it? Seriously, I didn't know. I couldn't remember when I drank this glass. And then the bottle was empty, and another one, and another one, and another one. And then I said, yeah, let's go. Let's go to the party. But then this friend said, no, I think I will bring you home. Loser. But I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened, because he put me out, he brought me home in the front of my house. Normally I would just run away, go to the next corner. You know, in Berlin, every corner has a Kneipe. And but I went home, and then I got so bad that the next thing I remember, I was kneeling in my vomit with my nice dress, and I thought, well, that's not princess, that's And then I thought, God, the white floor, I have to wipe it away. And I felt so, and all of a sudden everything got black. And I was like a little, there was only a little light in my head. There was something real. And it said, and I'm so grateful for this moment, because it was the first time that there was something like a me in me, and it said, it's over. It is over. You cannot drink. You cannot not drink. You cannot live, and you cannot die. It's over. And I had absolute no idea what to do. And I sent a message to my friend Nicola, and she said, see you tomorrow, 11:15, guess where, at a corner. And I went there, shaking, totally. I mean, I had no idea, everything, my whole life concept was like gone with a second. I had nothing anymore. So I stood there, there were three of them, and they looked at me, and I said, fine, what do I have to do? And then they were dancing on the streets like, yeah, she got it! She got it! What do I have to do? Not, you do what I want you to do. It was, what do I have to do? What is your suggestion? Because you have it already. Tell me how did you do it? First of all, I needed a sponsor. Guess who I picked? That tall blonde lady who was always taking me from the corner, picking me up at the corner. She was always meeting me. She was very nice. She looked good. She was my age. She was crazy, I could tell, and she worked in the film industry. That was cool enough. But she was so calm, and she was like, she never touched the ground. She was flying, like, you know, and she was always so, ooh, and she really meant it, and I could feel it, and she was the only one I knew, really. So I said, could you be my, and I thought it was like this, can you be my sponsor? Because she seemed to be so tall, and she was so great. So she said, okay. And then she had to go for a retreat or something, but then she said, in a few days, I don't know, I don't remember. Every Thursday at 6, I had to be at her place. She will never forget me. She had bleeding ears. We read the book. She prepared all these markers and pens and nuts and Ayurvedic tea. And I sat on her couch with the cushions, and the apartment was so clean and everything was sorted. And she told me the worst stories. And I thought, what? That's better than any movie. And I thought, yeah, I can tell the same, blah, 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 blah. And then we were through, and then my first step, my second step, I know all my boyfriends, my mom, my whoever said, you have to stop drinking, you shouldn't take drugs, you cannot cope, you're like gone with the wind for days, you should stop it until before it's too late. I mean, it was too late with 5, but I'm strong, we're strong. And so actually maybe I would have killed myself with 18 if I haven't had, if there weren't drinks, right? Who knows? So, and then she said, okay, Mutzi, she called me Mutzi, which it's not a word. You can call people, but it doesn't have a meaning, Mutzi. So, and then she said, we're about to making the third step. Are you ready? And I said, yeah, I'm ready. This time I'm prepared. I thought about it. She said, yeah. And I said, yeah. I want to go to the hospital where I was born, and I want to knee down and say the third step prayer. And she was running around, and I thought, oh man, she's nervous today. And she prepared some things, threw pillows on the floor and whatever. And I thought, Well, I don't mind because I want to talk. So this is my idea. And she said, great, that's a beautiful idea. And I said, you're right. We'll do that on the weekend or so. And she said, yeah, come on the knees. So yeah, on the knees, what we were going to do. And then I went on the knees. And then she said, okay, big book. Third step prayer, and I said, no, mom, I want it. And she said, yeah, we can do that. You know, you're ready. Just 5 minutes. Okay, I have to. And then, so I made the third step, and I made the fourth step, and she really had to help me because I wasn't able to see all my character defects. Pride, me. I mean, I was a person who was absolutely not proud at all. I was so, you know, sent from heaven or so. The world was so bad, and I was just coping. Later, I caught myself acting selfish, self-centered, shitload of fear. Every body part of me was just like fear. Me, myself, and I. I'm afraid to lose something. I'm afraid to not get what I want. I want this. I want that. I don't want this. I was just constantly like this. And she pointed at this. This is why I needed a sponsor. She went through it. She knew what she was talking about. I made the fifth. I made six and seven, so I grew up from a child to an adult all of the sudden, just through this some hours of I know nothing, I'm proud. So and then I thought, okay, now I'm an adult, I have to take responsibility. Let's see where I did harm. Nowhere. But this boy, you know what he did to me? So, the only amend I will tell about is my mom. This person who really, really tortured my soul. And I thought, it took half a year to understand. I was praying every evening, God, show me why should, and for what, and why. And one morning I woke up and I knew what everything she has done for me and everything I did to this woman. She was working fucking hell from 6 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock in the evening. She knew nothing about how to grow up a child or what to do, whatever. She was freaky alone. She had no money, nothing at all. So I went to her with my letter. My pants were full of things you don't say when you share. And I started the letter and I read it, and then she said, stop, child, do you want to tell me you're going to die? And I said, no, listen to me. I was crying, because I thought if I tell her, she will throw me out. So I told her, read it, right? And then she looked at me and she said, yeah, that's called alcoholism. My mom, the stupid country girl, right? She said, didn't you know that this is a disease? And by the way, I always was wondering, where do you have that drama from? You cannot have that from me. So, and I thought, what? And then it took 3 years of continuous being nice to my mom. Mom, I love you. On the other side, You can feel, sometimes you can feel faces on the phone, right? 3 years, and I wanted to give up, but my sponsor said, you keep going. I love you, mom. What can I do for you? Same with my best friends, the two I have left. Same with this, get involved, do the stuff. Next to it, do the service, phone meetings, go there, make the coffee, make the whatever. However, I got the hospital coordinator after 3 months. There was nobody else, and so I made the hospital service. I did the hospital service, and it was great. I loved it. That was so cool because I was the one who could leave the hospital, and sometimes they would come to the meeting, and it was just like, oh, what? They come because of me. Because I was so great. But you know, it kept me sober. And now, sometimes I think my mom is really crazy, but I got all the love back, everything, we're good friends. I have a life, okay, at the moment, I'm not as happy as I could be, but I'm very grateful for my job. I'm grateful. And I have a life I never was dreaming about before. I never ever traveled somewhere until I was 35. I think I was in Italy, but I cannot remember. I was in Amsterdam. I was in Amsterdam and broke my ankle when dancing on a pole somewhere. These stories, you know, I was desperate, alone, whatever. Now I sit here and I look in your faces and I'm so happy and I know there is a life and I don't have to drink no matter what. No matter what. I went through shit. Things you shouldn't say when you share. Also in sobriety. And I could feel, sometimes I could feel, oh, this is a moment when you normally would drink. But I didn't. So, no matter what, just keep coming back.